Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Come now and let's spin the old retro radio dial and tune in what sounds like an underground broadcast from some nation in the midst of an economic revolution.
A typo talks it over on Meet the Union Printers. The real reasons behind the newspaper strike in Chicago.
That's a clip from a 1947 broadcast from WCFL, the Chicago Federation of Labor's radio station. There was another time in America when opinion radio was the norm, when radio stations represented different points of view, and American unions once produced and funded more than 250 programs with loyal, daily, national audiences, hosts with names like Guy Nunn and Edward P. Morgan. So instead of Rush Limbaugh making his pro-business right-wing case on his radio show, here you have a representative of the Chicago Typographical Union Local 16 making his case on that city's newspaper strike.
I'm the man in the middle. Call me John Q. Public, if you like. I'm here tonight because everybody says that John Q. Public is the man in the middle when employers and employees can't get together and a strike is called. Now, I don't know where that idea started, because when you come right down to it, practically everybody is either an employer or an employee, and who's left over to make up the public? It seems I'm left over. The man in the middle.
The man in the middle, speaking on WCFL, the Chicago Federation of Labor's radio station in Chicago. Where is this radio labor tradition today? Elizabeth Phones Wolf joins us, history professor at West Virginia University, author of Waves of Opposition, Labor and the Struggle for Democratic Radio, 1933 to 1958. Also with us is Angela Bachman, who's co-host and executive producer of The Union Edge. That's the only nationally syndicated labor program in the country right now. Angela is also a member of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 5. Angela, welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So now your top story probably over the weekend was this vote at the Volkswagen Chattanooga plant voting against the United Auto Workers Union, against organization, something like that, right?
Yeah, it was. Most of the unionists still have their chin up and say, we're going to try again.
So, Elizabeth, long before there was public radio, what was democratic radio exactly?
Democratic radio was the concept that all voices should have a voice on the air. And this actually doesn't really fully develop until after 1945.
Now, for decades, Elizabeth Phones Wolf, it's been the case that foreign factories in the United States producing automobiles have been largely non-union. If the union radio movement had been as vibrant in the 80s and 90s and the early decades of this century, do you think that would be the case today?
No, I think that people, when they tune into television, there would be actually network programs that would be sponsored by the labor movement that would be presenting labor's opinion. They'd also be able to hear it on the radio. There would be a more sort of vibrant internet and website presence, so people would hear labor's voice and they would have a better understanding of what the changes that were taking place in the workplace, and the better understanding about why it's important for workers to have higher wages, to have secure pensions, and to have representation of the workforce. And these are ideas that simply are not part of the public consciousness today.
Angela Bachman, is that because labor has a face for radio in the sense that the union face, the face of American workers, doesn't work on television in some sense? What is the defensiveness about labor on American television and other media?
I don't think it's that, but I do think that labor has a bad habit of not talking about the good things that they do. And they also seem to shy away from media in general a little bit. They kind of keep to themselves. And when you do that, then you're allowing whoever wants to take shots at you to have more of a voice.
So you're really a 21st century pioneer in that you're really out there in the media. I mean, you have a nationally syndicated labor program called the Union Edge. What do your listeners say about the reputed decline of the American labor movement? What are they saying about the Chattanooga vote? And do you think that there's a way of turning this around in some sense, even in the media?
I think there is. I think that a lot of people are looking to engage young workers. A lot of people are looking to continue organizing and revitalize the movement. And we've seen in places like Michigan, where right to work has become a thing, there's still a lot of organizing happening, which is a little bit opposite of what you would expect. So I think that people who really believe in it are still fighting. And it's also really important that we're bringing in young people who haven't grown up with unions and trying to educate people on how it works.
Elizabeth Phones Wolf, do you believe there's a media future for the American union movement?
Yeah, and I think that more people, they're listening to radio in their cars. Perhaps it would be something like a all-union radio station that you could subscribe to listen to in your car. So I think there is a future. And, you know, one of the important things is that labor has such a negative image for most Americans. When you say the word organized labor, the first thing that comes to their mind is a mob figure or a sort of corrupt and greedy figure. And this is a image that has been pounded into the minds of the American people really since the 1930s, since the rise of organized labor. There have been concerted efforts to make Americans have negative attitudes towards labor. And I think what we've seen in the past 25 years is the success of this long-term ideological campaign to really delegitimize the idea of collective action.
Elizabeth Phones Wolf is history professor at West Virginia University, author of Waves of Opposition, Labor, and the Struggle for Democratic Radio, 1933 to 1958. She spoke with us from Morgantown, West Virginia. Professor, thanks so much.
Sure.
And Angela Bachman is co-host and executive producer on The Union Edge, the only nationally syndicated labor radio program in the country. Also a member of the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 5. Thanks so much, Angela.
Thanks for having me.